Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Deep Thoughts from the Shallow End. And like as always, we're brought to you by the Sphere Innovation Group. Check us out online at www.sphereinnovationgroup.com and give us a call at 678-920-6700 if you'd like to hear more about what we do here at Sphere. But today, we have a very special show planned for you today. Don't we, Melba?
Yes, we do.
And I'm always... As always, I'm joined by Dr. Melba Black. How are you, Melba?
I'm great, Ben.
We have a special guest in here, don't we?
I'm excited.
She's being very quiet, you know? That'll change here pretty quickly.
We haven't given her a chance to say a word yet.
What's your point? So, everybody, we are blessed to have with us today Sherry Dressel. Shelly, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. Anyway, welcome. I'm so glad to have you here. And today we're going to talk about out with the old junk and removing, kind of moving the cloudiness from our clarity and be able to see clear. So tell us about yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shelly Dressel, and I am a channeler. That's what I always kind of say is my foundation is channeling. And what that means is that I have an alignment with the angels and beings of light and teachers. And through that alignment, they speak through me, bringing forth information, helping to create change, and I work a lot with people about this very thing, letting go of old emotions and putting helping them to become in a better place or move into a better place so that they can move forward with their life. I think people don't oftentimes realize just how much baggage they carry around, sometimes even in your unconscious thoughts.
Absolutely.
You're not even thinking about it. You may be trying to focus on moving forward and thinking happy thoughts and getting on with your life after you've had a big change or something. But if you haven't actually let go or released the things that have happened in the past, it can still be kind of building up. I think it's sometimes like a snowball.
Yeah, before you know it, you know, you're under the avalanche. You know, it's like that. You know, the avalanche starts with just a little bit of snow, small snowball coming down the mountain. And before you know it, the entire mountain's coming down on top of you.
And I think that's what actually happens with people sometimes is they've been hit by the avalanche and they're saying, what's wrong? What happened? Where am I going? What am I doing?
Did anybody get the number of that truck?
Exactly.
So, folks, if you want to be part of the show today, give us a call at 657-383-1561. That's 657-383-1561. And you, too, can be part of the show if you have any questions for us. So when we're talking about, we have some fun with the avalanche and trucks and whatnot. So how do you know when when that's what's happening?
I think one of the ways that you can know that there's something going on with you is that you feel maybe you know very focused, I'm depressed. Or you may just feel I'm angry all the time, or there's something that you just don't feel you're quite yourself. But it's the more subtle things that I think people don't always pick up on their cues. And the subtle things may be like, I keep trying to make changes in my life, but it's not happening. Or I keep trying to reach out to people, but they're just not there. They're always busy. Or I keep trying to find something that I really want to do or I really like to do, but I have no idea what it even is. Those are some of the keys, I think, that let you know it's time to make a change.
Folks, if you remember in the last show, we were talking about travel and life. We were talking very right around this topic about being aware of when things change, when you start feeling heavy, I think. You know, one of the many ways that I think we begin to experience it is when you start feeling heavy or when the alarm goes off in the morning and it's, oh, damn.
Here we go again.
Here's another day staring me in the face. Mm-hmm. Those are the times when you need to think about, what is it that I'm carrying around? What's going on, you know?
Well, also, anxiety can come from your soul or your spirit shaking things up and not acknowledging what it's been talking to you for a while, and then all of a sudden the whisk gets louder.
Well, and then you exacerbate the whole problem by eating sugar. It's true. I mean, sugar, the sugar crashes alone cause anxiety. They just feed that whole, so all of a sudden, you know, you're creating this whole vicious circle for yourself. When hopefully, Shelly's going to tell us, how do we stop that? How do we stop that? I mean, you're caught in this tight loop, right? And that's where we end up, right?
Well, I think number one, the key is to recognize that there are things in my life I have to change. I think that's number one. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't stop and say there's things in my life I have to change, but you just know I'm not happy, then that's the first step towards trying to find something. And to me, one of the ways in which I can think about myself or the people that I work with is there's your human self, which is based in your ego, and then there's your divine self, which is based in your God source energy. And if that becomes kind of disconnected, that's also the foundation behind what's going
on
here.
Good point.
So it's finding the symptoms that are happening in your life and then reaching towards something that's going to make you feel better.
Yeah, I hear you, but you know, here I am, I'm out here, I'm just trying to get through the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all tied up and I got to get the kids to the soccer practice, I got to pick up the kids from the piano lesson, I got to go to the work, the boss is yelling at me, quotas due. You know, how do you get through the noise?
Okay, so there's one thing. I don't know if y'all want me to do this or not, but okay. There's one thing that I do. Okay, here I am. I'm just going to put it out here.
Do it.
One of the things that anybody can do at any time, I would recommend the first time or two that you try it, you do it when you're kind of in a quiet place so that you can really focus. You begin to breathe with a conscious intention.
Breathe!
You
talk about breathing every show. Every show comes back to breathing.
Hey, she brought it up this time.
In for three, hold for three, and out for three.
Anyway.
Now, I'm going to do it a little different.
We're glad that you're bringing it up.
Yeah, because yet again, that is something that you're always going to be doing. You're never going to stop breathing. So when you begin to breathe with a focused awareness or a focused intention, that changes everything.
Okay.
And so the first time or two that you tried, I like that breathing into your heart. Everything that you're doing in the fifth dimension and above or anything that we're doing in this life is based in the heart center.
Agreed.
That's your heart, that's your emotions, that's your physical heart. So as you breathe into your heart and you let yourself connect there and then you just kind of send the energy down into the earth, what that means is you picture in your mind that you create a little ball of light and you just send it from your heart down into the earth and it lets you connect to the earth. The reason that that's helpful is because it will now begin to anchor you. And the more that you are anchored, the more that you can become, the more it will help you move into a more balanced state. So you breathe into your heart, you send a beam of light down into the earth, and then you can also use that as a means of letting go some of these burdens that are hanging over you, conscious or unconscious. The next step that I would do is then take in another breath, and this time breathe in, and as you're breathing in, just say, you know what, anything that I'm aware of or unaware of, I'm just ready to let you go. And then as you breathe out, you let it go. And by doing this, it's not about analyzing what the problem is. It's not about figuring out what I have to let go of. This is about a way of clearing out whatever's there. You need to first connect to your heart, anchor yourself, and then with one or two breaths, you just let go. And you'll be amazed at how much you can let go without even focusing on it.
Get beyond the paralysis of analysis, you know. We tend to get caught up in wanting to, you know, look at every minute detail, you know, oh, do I need this? It's like the boxes when you move. Mm-hmm. I have a rule that when we move, if the box hasn't been opened in a year, it goes to Goodwill.
Exactly.
And you don't get to open it.
Exactly.
Because if you open it, you're going to need all that stuff in there.
Right.
So this is kind of the same way. There's a lot of junk that you're hanging on to that you don't need to. The fact that your neighbor was mean to you when you were nine, right? So you're still angry, you're still holding on to that anger. There's really no reason to be hanging on to it. You don't even need to look at it anymore. You were nine.
Or even the fact that you got passed over at work and someone else got the job you want, that may be a little bit more focused and that may be you can get all up in arms about, well, I would have made more money, I deserved it, they didn't deserve it. You can go into all of those things. But most often, especially when you're in that alignment within yourself that we mentioned a minute or two ago, there's going to be something even better right down the road for you.
Well, it doesn't serve you just to stay in that zone where it should have been mine. Mm-hmm. For right. whatever the litany of reasons may be, because that just pulls you down deeper in the rut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's where, you know, we as a species really like to gnaw down on all that stuff. You know, when we are, whether it's perceived slight or a real one, right? We really like to gnaw down and pick at that. And folks, that's part of that heavy feeling that you get.
Well, and you just hit the nail on the head, perceived or real. Whether it's perceived or real, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's real to you, then it's important to you.
And
I'm projecting. Go ahead.
The stress response in the brain and the body doesn't know whether it's perceived or real.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. It only matters how you react to the other people.
It's a kind of chemical reaction.
I mean, you can go yell at the person that you perceived slight was from, and they may look at you and go, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have no idea what you're even referring to.
Right.
And here, it was all in your own head. Now, we had this conversation just before we came on air about just because it's in your imagination doesn't mean it's not real, because it's real for you.
Yes.
And that's the only place that needs to be dealt with, you know? And that's the challenge.
So the other thing is, the more that a person is trying to become focused or trying to become aware in their life, the more that their thoughts and their emotions are going to begin to have an impact. I find that thought processes, belief systems are never meant to be something that lasts with you from your whole entire life, but yet we take them on as if they do. There are certain belief systems like, I'm not going to go out and kill anyone, that's bad. Okay, of course, that one's going to stay with you your whole life.
But
you may have been taught a belief system that says it's not feminine to go out and really try to get a job and try to speak up and get your way, because that's not feminine, that's not good, you're going to be showing yourself bad, or what if there's a Southern term, showing your underwear or something like that. There's a phrase or something.
I don't know,
like that.
You Southern gals have a whole language all on your own. I need a dictionary.
But I do know that Southern is...
Bless your heart, right?
Bless your heart. Yeah, you know what that means.
Oh, that's what that means.
But there is a Southern belief that most Southern belles, and I am one of them, that was taught that no matter what, you never lose your poise.
Exactly.
And this is probably not a bad thing, but man, it plays havoc on the inside of your internal organs.
Hence, bless your heart, right?
Yeah. Because you're not losing your poise with that. But no, it's truly, I think, that for so long, we're taught certain things that if you're a man, you do this, if you're a woman, you do this, if you're a child, you do this, and all of that just needs to go by the wayside, because if you find that it's something that's causing you to feel bad inside of you, or is holding you back, or you just feel like there's something else I want to be doing and I need to be doing, then that's what you need to follow.
You hit it on the head. I think so much of it, we get caught up in what we were taught, mm-hmm. from whatever source. From TV to mom and dad to whatever your faith was, whatever it may be, right? You were taught all this stuff. And there comes a point in time when you need to pick what's yours.
Right.
Bruce Lee, who was probably recognized as one of the world's best martial artists ever, actually created a style called Jeet Kune Do. And you know what that means? It's what's best for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He went around to all different arts. He goes, oh, I'm really good at kicks. I'm very flexible. So that's what I'm going to do. A big, burly weightlifter, he's not going to do any of that. But he can still learn the system of Jeet Kune Do, which go around and look what works for you. So yeah, what I'm equating this to is the same thing, right? There's all these thoughts, all these pantheons. There's all these other stuff out there, folks. Pick what's best for you. Just because mom kept her poise and said, bless your heart, you can say, I'm not happy with that. I'm going to change. I'm going to go be what I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that taking responsibility, because we can use it as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we do. Your mom said to do this. That's why I learned.
Well, heck,
so therefore I have
some people don't even know where their beliefs came from. Mm-hmm. They can't even pinpoint it.
Right.
We've always done it that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Always go to the shore on the second week of July.
No, good point, Shelley. Good point. So how do you, what would you recommend to somebody that would, this belief system, I'm questioning it. what would you recommend that, how would that go about questioning in a very peaceful and harmonic way to learn what a new belief system is?
I think there are a couple of different things that I do when I'm working with people. Number one is it's really important to acknowledge the belief system that's there because it was developed for a reason. Mm-hmm. It probably worked for you at one time. So if you try to ignore it, it's like the two-year-old that just gets madder and madder and madder and throws their temper tantrum.
Okay.
So it's important to acknowledge, yep, that was my belief system at XYZ time in my life. But I'm now going to acknowledge it no longer works for me. Therefore, I'm going to either create a new one or I'm going to take that and transition it into something that works for me. Some people like to do this through journaling. Some people like to do this through meditation. Mm-hmm. Some do it through prayer. Whatever it is that works for you. I find that if you're kind of totally new to all this and you just don't know where to start, then beginning with a journal, and I'm not talking about going to Barnes & Noble and buying the pretty nice bound journal. I'm talking about getting getting some paper from your computer, you know, just a piece of paper, and then just start kind of writing down the things. And that's another way to learn what does make you happy. Or what do you believe in? Instead of so-and-so believed in this or so-and-so believed in this, so I must. You know, that's what's helping you to move forward.
And therein lies, I think, a real pitfall is I have to believe this because mom does, sister does, dad does. I have to emulate. Mm-hmm. And folks, that's not it. Those people are role models.
Mm-hmm.
But they're there for you to show you a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly. Not the way. And therein lies the big crossroads. You know, are you willing to walk your own path?
Are you going to rock the boat?
Yeah, and your own path isn't at the expense of others. Now, you don't get that, well, I'm just going to say whatever comes into my mind, no matter what. Well, all of a sudden, now you're throwing everybody else around you under the bus. And that's not fair either. You know, you have to choose what's right for you, right, and live it. You know, when the baby is screaming on the airplane, right, it's not the baby's fault. It's not the parents' fault. They're doing what they can do. Mm-hmm. It's up to you to learn a way to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on your own.
Well, and the key here, too, is like what when you mentioned about making everyone else believe what you now believe. So that is no better. That's not helping.
I say that a lot.
That's not helping you or anybody else if you are now going to flip the switch situation around and try to control others through your new belief. So your new belief needs to also be a part of acknowledging your own perspective, but everybody else's too.
Right.
Letting the other people do what they want. And for this, I can just hear it, people coming down saying, well, that's so selfish. Selfish is another big word that I think has changed over the years.
It is. Taking care of self is, in fact, selfish. Because if you don't take care of self, you can't mm-hmm. take care of anybody else. Come back to the airplane, right? When the oxygen mask falls out of the ceiling, you can help everybody else put theirs on first, and you will die.
Right.
Or you can put yours on first, and then help everybody on the airplane.
Exactly.
You know, so that's the choice that we're talking about here. You know, and just because your belief system works for you doesn't mean it works for anybody else. And it's up to you to live by the tenets and the wishes and the thoughts of your belief system on your own. You know, when I was in the service, we always met that one officer that he would call you up and go, hey, we're going to go storm the gates of hell. You come and go, oh, yeah, well, sure. You know, you assumed that he had a reason that we had to go do it for some reason. There are others that say, we need to go put the fire out that's burning in the hangar. And you go, well, yeah, why do you think it needs to be put out? Why do you think that? And it had to do with they led from the rear versus the guy that led from the front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he walked the walk, talked the talk, and you were just following wherever you were going to go.
Because he trusted him.
Absolutely.
He had a level of trust.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly correct. And that's what we're talking about. You have to do it from the front.
Mm-hmm.
You have to live it and be it yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I know you can't see this because this is a radio show, but as Ben was doing that, he was tapping his heart. So, again, living from the front is living from your heart.
Yeah.
And living how that is reflected outward.
And being content with that is.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I know that I have found such contentment with is once I finally found my belief system, which is constantly in a state of flux,
mm-hmm.
and I accept that, but I got comfort. It's like, well, I don't need to argue mm-hmm. with anyone. I don't need to get in a conversation. I'm just very content with what I am. It works for me. It gives me comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I live a good life, and so on. I think that's where I hope that you all can get, folks. It's about, and again, remember, it starts with breath, and it starts with the realization that something isn't working. You know?
Well, and going back to what I touched into a little bit at the very beginning is there's your ego or your personality, which is you, the human expression of yourself, and then there's your divinity. And kind of what I think Ben is talking about here, when you can be in that space of that inner knowing and you can be in that space of balance, there's got to be that alignment with your divinity. Because when you recognize that you are more than just this physical person walking around here, then you begin to recognize and that becomes the anchor from which you then rotate around.
Mm-hmm. So, Shelley, how does somebody get in touch with their divinity?
That getting in touch is, well, in everybody there's a cord of light and energy that is your soul cord, and it's inside of you. Again, breathing into your heart center. You can just have that intention, okay, wherever it is that my soul anchors within me, I want to connect with that, and then it's almost as if you follow that string, it goes up through the top of your head, and it ends in your soul essence, in that higher dimension.
Is there a certain feeling, a certain emotion, is there a certain, can you express to our audience any way, outward or inward appearance, that when they've connected?
For some people, it may be a feeling of peace. It may be a feeling of overwhelming love or unconditional acceptance.
I love it.
Those are the primary things that people feel. But if you have the person who's never done this before,
mm-hmm.
and they're just saying, well, I guess I'll try it, this is where you go back to your imagination again. This is where you go back to that creative side of you and say, I'm having the intention that I'm going to link from within my physical self with my divine self. And honestly, that's all you need to do, and boom, it's automatically there.
Yeah.
Like the sound of
that. Me too. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
You know, I think once you start focusing inward, you stop judging the few people around you, because they're walking their path, whatever it may be, whatever they're doing, you know, no matter how ugly they're being to you,
mm-hmm.
right, you have to walk yours and just understand that that's what that is, and don't judge their path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when I really started to get that peace, that, wow,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really matter what everybody else does, thinks, believes. I don't need to be an apostle about it. I don't need
right.
to be evangelicized. I can't get the word out.
Evangelicized.
The mouth isn't working. You know, any of that stuff, you know?
Or you could be a zealot.
I could be a zealot.
So a couple of things that I was thinking as you were telling that is, I remember way back in the 90s when I first started on my own path, I remember feeling that I had a potential to really tap into this stuff with channeling and Reiki healing and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt myself pulling back because I thought, oh my gosh, if I go down that road, I'm going to have to save the world. And I think that's a very old, old, old belief system that comes from many, many past lifetimes. So I believe that if there's anyone that says, hey, I have to go out and save the world, let me tell you, no, you don't. Nobody has to save the world. The world is getting saved by each person finding their own divinity within and their own peace within. That's what's creating change in the world, and that's what's going to create the ultimate.
And that merely a statement. I need to say the word. It's just mm-hmm. an ego-driven statement. You know, don't get me wrong, folks. Everybody needs ego. That helps us get up every day. I'm not talking, but ego needs to be in control. And that's one of those things where you don't realize that it's ego just busting out of
right.
it. I'm going to go
right.
save the world.
Right.
And
because that automatically assumes you're better than them.
Right, exactly.
That I'm doing something right.
And I have
to
wear
with
that.
Wrong.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, who do we think we are that we have the skills and the talents and the power to save
mm-hmm.
the world?
How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, my
talking
goodness.
About
yeah.
projection and ego.
Yeah, that's what all that is. And it sounds like such a wonderful statement when you do that. Oh, I want to go bring peace into the world. Well, how about bringing just peace into yourself?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And the world will follow.
It will. Oh, that's the other thing that I was going to mention. It is.
It's funny how they come up every show.
I know. Go ahead, Shelley.
So sometimes what happens, and I'm just kind of feeling someone's going to hear this, and this is what they needed to hear, is that as you make these changes in your life, you're going to notice the people around you will change. There may be some friends that fall away from you, and there may be new friends that come in. And you have to be okay with that, because it happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to Bennett and Melba, too, that those people that were so much a part of my life at a certain phase, that when I began to become more balanced and more within myself, I began to realize all they ever talk about is themselves. All they ever talk about is what they want to do. And all they don't really see me for me. So I just moved on. And I found there were other friendships out there and new beginnings.
And we have talked about this many, many times. And that's exactly what happens. And you have to be okay with it, with the ebb and flow that is life. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. You know, some folks have friends from when they were in junior high or elementary school. Mm-hmm. And they're still close friends here some 50 years later. For me, not so. Mm-hmm. Not so at all. And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that the people that kind of leave your inner circle, they're still on their own path, and you have to be really careful not to condemn them.
Exactly.
Because it's real easy to do.
You have to hold everybody's path in reverence. Yes. You know, no matter... Like, again, no matter how ugly they're being at you, it's their path.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to understand that and just, you know, I'm glad it's working for you.
But, you know, when you find something new and exciting, you want to share it with everybody, and sometimes it's not received the way you would intend for it.
How could you not
know
the decision that I do?
And you're looking for that validation.
Yeah.
Right? And, folks, the person that's going to give you validation is the reflection in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once you accept that, and that's all you need. Mm-hmm. That should be good enough, you know?
I absolutely love Louise Hay's quote. The only and the longest and the most intimate relationship you are going to have in your lifetime is your relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
And it's so true. You're there from day one, and you're there till the last.
Yeah. Oh,
24/7.
Yeah, that's true.
I love that woman anyway. Her president.
Yeah. She is amazing, and she was so pivotal with coming forth with these ideas and potentials at a time that nobody else, people might have been thinking about it and people might have been wanting to go that way, but she was able to make it to a point that others could listen.
I love it.
So she's phenomenal.
And she travels light, too.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Yes. I mean, talk about reinventing themselves. She's done it several different times.
Well,
everybody in this room has.
We have.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's part of what this is. It's about the willingness to be open and move with the change. Mm-hmm. You know, and folks, I think you could quit your job tomorrow or any of that kind of stuff. It's about all that's just part of the world, part of life. You know, you have to be out there, enjoy it, find the ways to make it work for you, and just find balance in your life.
Well, and that learning how to let go of your emotional baggage or your mental baggage is what helps you to reinvent yourself, and it is what helps you to move in a new direction. So it doesn't have to work in such a way that you reinvented yourself and then it'll all lose. You know, you're not going to start at the hard end of things. You're going to start with the part that's inside of you and begin to let it go piece by piece by piece by piece. It can certainly be challenging, but if it feels big, huge, and overwhelming, then take a step back and find what is a smaller perspective and begin there.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
Good
advice. And I also always say this, people only give from abundance. And even Mother Teresa had three squares in a cot. Right? She did not have to worry about where her food was coming from or where she was going to sleep. Don't get me wrong, she's done great work, continues to do it. But, you know, she still had three squares on the cot. So she had abundance for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and folks, so we're not saying, hey, you got to go give up and live this monastic life or go out. We're talking the exact opposite of that.
Again, that's an old belief.
Yeah.
That if you're on your spiritual journey, you have to give everything away and you have to do everything for free. I personally have noticed, and I bet you Ben and Melba have too, that those people that I give for free are the ones that keep asking for even more, and it's never good enough.
Well, they never perceive value. If you give something for free, it has no perceived value. It has no perceived value.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just the way it works. Well, you give it away for free.
Right. Well, and that's why, and I mean, there's a lot of people that I've known for a long time, and I am always happy to help out or do things. But when I get people that are total strangers and they say, well, will you just do this or this for free? I've got so that I say, no, I'm sorry. Is there some sort of an exchange you can come up with? And if they can't, then off we go.
Yeah, and that's
good
right.
For you.
And even with barter, I only barter for services that I need.
That I need, exactly.
Otherwise, trust me, my landlord doesn't accept barter.
Exactly.
You know, he just doesn't. And that's the way the world goes from.
Well, I just want to bring this point up while we do that. We have come to an understanding of our self-worth.
Exactly.
And our self-esteem is not tied into pleasing people.
Mm-hmm.
Our self-esteem is tied into our inner work and what we've done.
Right.
And our self-worth and whatever we have to give people. It's worth an energy exchange.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
That's a very good point.
It has value, right? What we do has value.
And that's what this whole focus has been about, is finding that value within ourselves and then respecting ourselves and then sharing that outward with our community and our families.
And folks, all this that we're talking about, you know, if you go see a professional, you can really help get that third-party observer view of what's going on. I'm telling you, so many times, I know for me it was immensely helpful. I was so close, I couldn't see the forest for the trees. You know, all I could see was I had to be in Tokyo on Monday. That's all I knew. You know, nothing else mattered. You know, I needed to get ready for that. And, you know, and all of a sudden someone would sit you down and go, well, why are you going to Tokyo? Well, I got an appointment there. Go, okay, so you've got a business appointment. Is that going to run your entire weekend from now until Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Are there
so you
other
spent
things?
The whole weekend thinking about what you're going to do on Monday.
Yeah, what I got done. And, you know, it just affects the whole time.
Right.
So it was about being able to actually begin to think about something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once, I'll tell you folks, once that armor is pierced, it tends to fall away pretty quick.
Exactly.
You realize how brittle it was. It's really hard to break through, but once you do, it tends to fall away pretty quick.
Well, I remember back when my whole pathway shifted and when all of this started for me, I just shared it with someone last week, and funny how it comes up synchronistically. I remember going into a video store shortly after I got separated from my ex-husband and looking at it and saying, well, he would love to see this movie, Kelly would like this movie. I could not even figure out what's a movie that I want to know. And on the one hand, you think, oh, that's so pathetic, but I went out of there crying. But that was the key that said, okay, Shelley, you've got to make a change. You've got to figure out what movie you like.
What an aha moment.
Yes, absolutely. Fantastic. So those aha moments can come in many, many, many different ways. And just listen, you know, and hear all these almost 30 years later, I still remember it.
Yeah, we can't say enough. Take care of yourself. You know, if you're not feeling right, find out why. You know, and be careful of, well, it's because boss did this and job did that and
you're
kids did this.
Outward.
Exactly. None of that. All of that is wrong. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you right now. All of that is wrong. Sure, if someone tying you down and beating you with a bamboo stick, it's wrong.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, all of our listeners then. And I'm going to talk to us, too. So in order for you to be open and break the brittle armor, why don't we just, for a day or for a week or for a month or for a year, suspend everything that we think is concrete? Crickets. Are y'all thinking about that?
Concrete. I'm trying to think of what's concrete
I'm
in my life.
Yeah. Process what that actually means.
Yeah.
Well,
you know?
You guys may be too evolved to do this.
No, probably not.
So something that's concrete is something that seems immovable.
Yes. Okay. Yes, thank you. That's a good definition.
Okay.
So suspend that and see where the universe takes you. See what new things that you can see and feel and just look for signs.
Just do it for an hour. If you're going to start, just do it for an hour. Just.
Well, you had us for a year.
A year's really cool.
In a year, you would really make some significant changes. So that
talk about
life. Yeah,
it's about
baby steps, I think. Yes,
exactly. Okay. Well, especially when you're feeling heavy.
He brings it back to real.
Yeah.
When you're feeling heavy and you don't know why, you need to understand, you know, where are the boulders that I'm carrying around?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe, you know, pick the heaviest one. And, you know, if the heaviest one is my job, well, that's not something you can fix tomorrow, but it's something you can start to fix tomorrow.
Right. Exactly. You can begin to fix the way you look at your job right now.
Perception is how you perceive yourself in a situation.
Exactly.
Can be a matter of, remember there's a story that in the there's a train, and there were two families. One was told that it's going to be freezing tonight. You're not going to have any blankets. Da, da, da. They ended up dead. Okay, nothing changed. They were just told this in the car, and the cars were closed.
Mm-hmm.
The other family was given blankets. Da, 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 da. They lived. So it's all about how you perceive. You can die of your own will. Just by believing that this is the extreme.
But we all come from the medical.
Okay. Well,
we've seen that too many times.
Well, here's the key, though, is what is death? You may still be living, breathing, eating, but are you really dead inside, or are you alive inside?
Going through the motions.
Going
through motions and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's part of that, you know, folks, you can still come out of that, right? You can still
justify.
I'm sorry, I kicked that.
That's okay.
No, we're in Georgia, so we all got the little jug down next to us, so.
Make it real interesting in here.
we are on Thunder Road, literally. We are on Thunder Road.
But the whole thing about perceiving your situation, you know, it's like, is the glass empty, or is it half full, or half empty? You know, it's all about that.
You
have control of that.
You do. How you feel, folks, I say it every show, is a choice. You choose. You have the entire gamut of emotions to choose.
Hmm.
And if you choose, if you're angry, it's because you chose it. You know, you choose happy. You can just easily choose happy.
That's true. You could say life sucks or life is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You choose which one.
And in along that line of choice, sometimes if it's hard to recognize, because I hear it all the time, people say, I did not choose this life. I did not choose to be abused. I did not choose to blah, 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 answer the question. Then part of that first step that you're taking is the realization that it may not be something that you consciously chose, but vibrationally there's something that's brought this to you so that you can now make a new, so that you can now make a change in your life, whatever that may be.
Yeah. And conversely, the person that's treating you poorly didn't wake up this morning and go, how can I make Shelley's life miserable today?
Mm-hmm.
that's not the thought process.
Right.
Right? So again, they're just running off the scripts that are in their subconscious, you know, whatever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
So understand, once you kind of grasp some of these concepts, your life becomes a whole lot easier to manage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life throws curveballs. We all know that. But if you start gathering some of these philosophies together and putting them to use, you'll find it's a whole lot easier to manage.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's another key. You're not alone.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you think you're alone, you're really not alone. There are people that can be your friends. There's your own divine angels and guides and things that are there. But if it seems, if the perception that you have is that you're alone, this is the place to call.
Right.
And know that you're not alone.
So we only have a couple minutes left, Shelley. So tell the folks how to get in contact with you.
Oh, okay. I have a website that's probably the best way, goddesslight.net, GoddessLight.net, and you can look at some of the stuff I do. I have a free teleconference through there. I do personal work. I do group channels, and then I teach some classes, and it's all listed on my website.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. Really enlightening. I hope everybody enjoyed themselves out there. It's a quick 45 minutes.
Well, I thank you for having me. I've known Ben and Melba for a long time, and this has been a pleasure to participate in this.
Well, we're really, really glad to have you.
I have actually gone to Shelley for some advice and stuff, and she's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
So I highly recommend you check Shelley out online. That was goddesslight.net. But by all means, go check that out. And again, as always, if you have any questions for us, you can get a hold of us here at Sphere at www.sphereinnovationgroup.com or give us a call, 678-920-6700. And we're going to go on out with a Jason Kenney tune. This is something called Edwin's Tune, I believe, and we're going to get to work here, but we will. We'll see. Hang on, let me... they changed the format. There we go. Enjoy. As always, folks, we appreciate you tuning in, listening to the show. And we really hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week. We have no idea what we're going to be talking about, but it'll show up sooner or later. So, as always, this is Ben Plowman signing off from the Sphere Innovation Group and Deep Thoughts from the Shallow End. Have a great week, folks. Bye-bye.